Jesus hath fled. Fear not, I am with thee, or be not.
Once I was blind, and now I see. That's the testimony of the man that Jesus healed, and in a real way, everyone's story who has come to Jesus Christ. Once I was in spiritual darkness, and now I'm in spiritual light. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz. If you're ever asked to share your story of how you came to Jesus, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, our teacher, encourages you today to be that simple. I once was blind, but now I can see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Well, that's the story of so many from our Through the Bible family who have written over the 50 years that this program has been on the air. And today, Greg Harris, Through the Bible's president, and I are going to read a few letters from some listeners that have had their lives impacted by this ministry over the last 50 years.
And Steve, as we think about that, I mean, 50 years, yeah. It's incredible. And we really want to go back to the beginning in a sense. And this ministry, although I always love to talk about the global aspect of this ministry, we never want to forget that God birthed it here. And even to this day, we often talk about it. The bulk of the prayer and financial support that makes this ministry possible comes from the transformed lives right here in the United States. Yeah. And so we want to just focus on that today.
Well, and here's one. If you ever think that you're too old to be used by God, well, not in God's economy, listen to this letter. This is from Jennifer from Cape Coral, Florida. I'm a full-time nurse for a 91-year-old longtime listener of Through the Bible. I've been with Esther for 3.5 years, and I'm happy to report that I am now on the Bible bus too. Esther now requires 24-hour care. The four additional caregivers are now learning about Through the Bible, too, and in their original languages. How amazing is that? No one is ever too old or too weak to witness for God. Thank you for spreading God's word all around the world and for your many language translations that speak directly to the heart of each listener.
And, Steve, when I first read that listener, I thought of Paul being in prison and being chained to the guards,
yeah.
And they would rotate the guards every yeah. few hours, and Paul would be preaching the gospel to each
yeah.
one.
And in this situation, it's caregivers.
Yes, and it really is a great encouragement that if you have, as you like to say, if you have breath in your body, you can serve God.
Yep.
Now, here's another great letter from Juan, who lives right here in California. Can I say thank you to all who are faithful in praying for and making this program possible? I am from Colombia, but I'm living in Orange, California. God permitted me to listen to your program on the radio one day on my way to work. I was so thankful to listen to a study that was in accord to what the Lord's teaching me through His Word in my short Christian life. It's been now 2+ years on the Bible bus. You have become the main source of the blessings God brings to my life, and I am thrilled to think that this is happening with many more brethren right now all over the world. He has the vision, Steve.
Yep.
Isn't that great?
Yep.
I now listen and financially support both the English and the Spanish program through the app.
Mm.
What a great picture. I also want to say hello to all listeners and believers and thank them for their love for God's word and encourage them to live it out in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Isn't that great that he's a bilingual listener
yes, yeah.
who also listens in two languages?
Yes.
That's wonderful.
And by the way, that means you know we have a good adaptation and translation.
Right.
Because he's not saying the two are different.
Right.
So that's a great testimony to the consistency and integrity of what's being taught.
That's
in the
a very good
language.
Point.
Thanks,
Greg.
Steve.
You know, every day that you ride the Bible bus and you hear stories from around the world, you join in a community of faith committed to getting God's word out. And then here's a good word. This is from a listener named Monty in Apple Valley, California. Dear Through the Bible, I want to do my part with donations and with prayers to keep the Bible bus running for many years to come. I've been on the Bible bus for more than 5 years and enjoy hearing the word from Genesis to Revelation. I also love hearing the letters and testimonies of how God is using his word in cities, towns, and villages in other countries. Sometimes it brings tears to my eyes to hear these testimonies. Amen to that. I've had many times where it's been hard to get through a letter. And how bad some of these countries' spiritual conditions are. But with God, we can do whatever he asks of us. 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Thanks to other prayer warriors on the team, we can encourage each other.
And Steve, we often talk about how every aspect of this ministry, people are being blessed by God, and, mm-hmm. and the World Prayer Team is definitely one of those.
Absolutely. And if you want to officially join the team, as Monty referenced, just go to ttb.org/pray and sign up for that World Prayer Team email that you'll get every Monday through Friday to help you be a little bit more consistent in praying for this ministry. Greg, why don't you open us in prayer as we begin our study in John 9?
Father, these letters have touched our hearts, and we recognize that you're doing things in people's lives that are supernatural, and we thank you for that. And as we study John 9 together now, would you do something supernatural in each one of us? In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
You will recall last time we saw the miracle of the man who was born blind and the Lord opened his eyes. Now the important thing to note here is that actually the religious rulers found themselves in a very tight spot. They were forced to admit finally that his eyes had been opened. His parents testified that he is born blind, and they testified that this man was their son, and that now he's able to see. But how, they are not prepared to explain that. They knew that would get them in trouble. And so the religious rulers now attempt to change the miracle, not from being a miracle, but from the Lord Jesus receiving credit for it. Now notice in verse 24, "Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner." Now they just come right out in the open now, and they say, "Look, all right, you were born blind. A miracle has been performed. And do not give this man credit." That is the Lord Jesus. He's a sinner. They're wrong there. "Give God the glory." You see how pious they can be about a thing like that. They wanted to bypass the Lord Jesus in this particular incident. Now, notice what the man says. Actually, the poor fella, this is the second time they've hailed him into court. And this is something I think he's just a little weary of. And notice his answer. He answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not." The point is, he hasn't yet met the Lord Jesus, you see, and he hasn't yet seen him, and he's going to have that opportunity in just a few moments. But so far, he hasn't seen him. But he has a testimony, and his testimony is this: "One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." That's the testimony of this man. And this is the testimony of any sinner who has been saved. "Once I was blind, now I see. Once I was in spiritual darkness, now I am in spiritual light. Once I did not know Christ, now I know him as my Savior." You see, this is very simple indeed, but very important, if you please. And we're apt to miss such a simple statement as this: "Once I was blind, now I see." And that, my friend, is a wonderful thing to be able to do, is to be able to say, "Once I was blind, now I see." I hear today these long-winded testimonies. I don't know about you, I get a little weary of them sometime. I think many of them are padded and embellished and polished up and made very attractive. I remember that when I was a pastor in Los Angeles, that we had a man that came forward one night, and it was found out that he was what would be called today in the common parlance of the street. He would be called a cheap gambler. Are a cheap crook, if you please. And he came forward, he accepted Christ, and he was immediately picked up by an evangelist, and he gave a testimony in a meeting. And then later on, we had him give a testimony at the church. And his testimony was a very, I thought, sane testimony. And then it was about 2 years later, I was back east, and somebody said, "My, have you heard the testimony of so-and-so?" And I said, "Yes." "Oh, what a remarkable testimony this man has. Never heard anything like it. Oh, it's great." "Well," I said, "I never thought it was that outstanding." And this party says, "Well, he's going to give it at a certain time in the meeting, and I want you to be there and hear it." So I came and heard it. Frankly, it looked like the same fellow, but his testimony wasn't the same testimony. Do you know what he'd become in the meantime? He was the leader of a gang of gangsters. In fact, he was the leading one. And he was really outstanding. He'd rubbed shoulders with all the great ones. And then they were after him because the opposite gang, I guess it was, they wanted to kill him. And he just slipped into the church that night. That sounds good, doesn't it? And he heard the gospel and accepted Christ. Now, very frankly, I'm not sure the man really was converted from what happened after that, but be that as it may, well, let's give him credit for having been converted. Actually, he should have boiled his testimony down and been able to say, "Once I was blind, now I see." That's the important thing. That's the nub of any testimony that I want to hear. You once was blind, now you can see. That's the important thing. Now, let me read verse 26. "Then said they to him again, 'What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes?'" See, they're hard put to it. They're trying their best to find some little flaw that they can seize on to explain away the miracle that's been performed. Of course, if these religious rulers lived today, all they'd have to do is to go to an average seminary, and they'd find out some very clever ways to explain away the miracles of Jesus. But you see, they were not in that very advantageous spot in the day in which they lived. They had a man on their hands who had been blind, now he can see. And when you've got a man on your hands like that, you have to come up with some explanation. So may I say that probably we ought not be so hard on these fellows, because they are hard put to it to come up with an answer. Now they want to know how it was done. He answered them, "I've told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples?" I think he's being a little sarcastic here. He says, "Is the reason you want to hear it so you can become his disciple?" And of course, that's not it. They want to become the very opposite, which they were. "Then they reviled him and said, 'Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is.'" You see, they'd ask him that question. He'd told them they had not accepted it. They actually didn't hear. They not only are blind, they can't see, they are deaf, they can't hear. "The man answered and said unto them, 'Why? Herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes.'" In other words, as religious leaders, they are the ones that should have accepted him and actually have put him forward and have been his publicity agents. Instead of that, they're attempting to put him to death, actually. Now, let me read verse 31. "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind?" In other words, this was a remarkable miracle. A man born blind, he's been made to see. And this man's logic is very good, but he's acting on the knowledge that he has. He has not yet met the Lord Jesus, that is, that he could see him. When he came to him before, he was blind, and our Lord sent him away to wash in the pool of Siloam. Now will you notice the logic of the man? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. That, my friend, is rather unanswerable. If this man were not a God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? You see, now they do what men do when they can't meet an argument, or they do not have a satisfactory explanation of that which is around them, and the facts not only confound them, but contradict them. Well, what do? Well, they cast him out. They were angry, and they cast this man out. That means they excommunicated him. And this actually was an awful thing in that day. That means he was shut out of the temple. He was shut out of business, frankly. And the man was an outcast. He just the same as being a leper, because he's shut out of everything that is religious and everything that is social. Notice what happens now. The Lord Jesus comes on the scene. This man has defended the Lord Jesus, and he's come out the winner so far. But he's been excommunicated, and it's at a time like this that the Lord Jesus comes to him, and notice what he does. And this is quite wonderful here when the Lord comes to him. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now you see, this man to be saved is going to have to put his faith in the Son of God. He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? You see, the Lord has prepared this man all along. All this was done to prepare him. When he confronted the religious rulers and they said what they did to him, why, he defended the Lord Jesus, and actually, in so doing, his own faith was strengthened, and he could think more clearly about it. Now, having gone through that step, our Lord now comes in his presence and says, Will you believe on the Son of God? And he's very open, very honest, and very sincere, and he says, Well, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And the very interesting thing is, you see the eagerness of this man to want to go farther. He wants to come to know him. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Now, you see, what he's saying to him is just simply this. You now are able to see him, and now he's talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Here is one of the finest instances of faith that we have in the entire Word of God. This man born blind and the steps that he took coming to the Lord Jesus. Now, Lord took this blind man step by step and brought him to his feet where he could say, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. And so the steps of the sinner today, we're blind at first. Not only sinners lost, we don't even see our condition. We don't see our lost condition. Then we come to Christ, and the question now is, when we see him and our eyes are open, we see who he is, now we also know what he's done for us. And the question is, will you believe? And the answer this man gave, and it'll have to be our answer if we're saved, Lord, I believe. And then the next step, he worshiped him. Now listen to the Lord Jesus. Verse 39, And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Now this is a very strange statement, and I'm sure that many of you agree with that. You say, well, I can understand when he says, I'm coming to this world that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, he means simply this, that there are those that have eyes and they see not. That is, they have physical eyes, they see things physically. But they don't see these things spiritually. And the natural man, we are told, Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians, The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Actually, those things are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them. Why? Well, because they are spiritually discerned. They are foolishness to him. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. And again, let me come back to the illustration that I used about this man that was down in the darkness of the mine at the time of the explosion. And when they turned the lights on, the man just spoke out. He says, "Why don't they turn the lights on?" And the light was shining right in his eyes. And the other man was startled. These miners looked at him. They saw he was blind. The explosion had blinded him. Now, what the Lord Jesus is simply saying is that when you come into the presence of Christ and you still say, "I don't see," or say, as Pilate did, "What is truth?" I say this to you very candidly, and if I may use again another common colloquialism, my friend, if you can come into the presence of Christ and say, "What is truth?" And if you can come into the presence of Christ and say, "Well, I just don't quite get it. I don't see that he's my Savior," then, my friend, you've had it. You've had it. You have had an opportunity. And you have revealed the fact, though, that you have eyes, you are not seeing at all. Now, that is actually the real difference between the heathen that have never heard the gospel. They're in darkness, and their blindness is not really seen. Now, when the light is put on, if there's someone there that can see and will see as this blind man, then, may I say, the Lord Jesus is going to get in his presence. Because did you notice that the Lord Jesus waited until he had gone through this series of steps, and then he came into his presence? And if there's a man today that wants to know him out yonder in heathenism, the Lord will get the gospel to him. I can assure you that. The gospel will get to him. But the heathen are lost. They're in darkness. But the difference between them and the man who sits in a pew in a church today where there is a preacher who is preaching the word of God and giving out the gospel, now, that man is in the presence of light. And it's definitely revealed that he's blind. And if the darkness, or if the light in you, the Lord Jesus put it like that, if the light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? That is, if the light right in front of you, you still say it's dark. Though you've heard about Jesus Christ, I say it again, you had it. That's all I can say to you. You had it, friends. Nothing else to tell you about, because you've been brought into the presence of the Savior of the world. Now will you notice, verse 40, "And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also?" We began with a blind man. We end with blind religious leaders. They were blind, spiritually blind. And it's terrible, tragic to be spiritually blind. And yet the blind are everywhere today, only they don't carry a white walking stick. Verse 41, "Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth." In other words, in the presence of Christ, in the presence of the light, in presence of the revelation of God, they are saying, "We have no sin." That means they're blind as a bat spiritually. But the thing is, they say that they're seeing. And you know, the most dogmatic people in the world, they talk about me being dogmatic as a fundamentalist. Well, I want to tell you, the cultists and the atheists today, those that I meet are the most dogmatic persons in the world. They say they see, but they don't see. They're spiritually blind. They've rejected Jesus Christ. Their sin remaineth. Friends, this is very clear, is it not? Unless you're blind. And I trust today that if you have rejected Jesus Christ or never accepted him, you'll open your heart and mind to receive him.
That's a great idea. Invite someone to listen with you tomorrow as we come to one of the greatest chapters in God's Word. And go on and read ahead. We'll be studying the Gospel of John chapter 10. I'll be with you on the Bible bus tomorrow as we travel back through your neighborhood at the same time. Or, if you can't meet us, then listen online anytime at ttb.org. God bless you today as you walk with Him.
Jesus made it home. Unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.